Now, I know you think I'm going to make you stand right back up, but I'm not at this point. And the reason is we have a long chapter to look at today, so you're going to have to listen really fast. And we're going to be reading it section by section. Now, the reason I took my mask off only because the mandate says that if you're leading a religious service, you don't have to wear one. I wore one while I was singing, and I'll try not to spew anything towards you at all. But I'm really fascinated by today's word. We live in a society that is literally based not on a moral compass. It's based on the economy. And here's how we can know that. You let the stock market drop 1,000 points, people go crazy. If you were alive way back in the day of the 1929, 1930, 1931, and the great stock market crash, you'll realize that the whole country fell apart. Now, we base a lot on our economy. And the situation that we're going through right now with this pandemic and with people losing jobs, not being able to work, our economy is very fragile. It is. You know what? If our economy falls totally apart, will you fall apart? If you're based on the economy, you will. If you're based on your checkbook, you will. If you're based on your bank account, you will. But if your life is built upon the rock, you will not fall. Those of us that know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior will not have to go through what we're going to hear about today. But it will be the absolute, complete crash of all economic situations in the whole world. And even if you had 55 sticks of gold bullion, you wouldn't be able to buy anything because it won't be worth anything. It's interesting how we as people have come up with what's worth something anyway. Have you ever realized that? Our whole economy is based on, hey, I have a dollar bill in my pocket. It's a piece of paper. And you can go and buy something. Well, not much with a dollar bill anymore. But you can go and buy something with that little flimsy dollar bill. But that dollar bill is really not worth anything at all, especially in today's economy. This world has been built around these philosophies of what is important and what's worth something and what's not. Those will all go away. So let's begin reading this morning. We are going to read the whole 18th chapter of Revelation because we're going to be looking at it piece by piece this morning. John said, after this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. And with a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening of her wine, of the wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." And then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as queen, I'm not a widow, I will never mourn.' Therefore in one day her plagues will overtake her. death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe, O great city of Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come." The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies of and souls of men. And they will say, "The fruit you long for is gone from you, and all your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered." The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment, and they will weep and mourn and cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, glittering with gold and precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin." Every sea captain and all who travel by ship and sailors who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. And when they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" Will they throw dust on their heads with weeping and mourning and cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city! Where are all who had ships on the sea, became rich through their wealth? In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin." Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way that she treated you. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, "With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again." The music of the harpist and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of the millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of the lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's greatest men, but by your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints, and of all who have been killed here on this earth. Father, I come to you this morning, and I again just thank you, Lord, that we can always come to you and know that you're listening and care about us. And Lord, not only have we brought needs before you this morning, our greatest need is to hear from you today. Our greatest need is to know what you have in store for us and for this world to come. And as we study God's Word today, we study your Word, Lord, we realize and understand that you have the final say in every affair of man's life. Why do we run around thinking we know anything when you, Lord, are the one who knows everything? I pray, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts today. I pray, Father, your Word will come alive today. And help us to see what we need to see about what you're telling us in your Word. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, the one world religion falls. It's destroyed. Now we'll see the world's economic system crash. It will be worse than any other crash this world has ever experienced. One writer put it this way, "This economic disaster will be worldwide in its scope. It will take away mankind's favorite God, money. Our money has the words 'In God We Trust' printed or stamped on every piece, but for far too long, the God that people trust is the piece of money that they hold in their hands rather than the one that they say they put their trust in." What a statement that is, because this country, for so long, said that we will follow God. And in all of the things that this country stood for, we made sure that we were following the Lord. How does that stack up with today? You see, when you look a couple of years ago, it's not that hard. I mean, it's kind of hard to differentiate. But when you look at, say, your grandparents' era, and what things were like then and what things are like now, and you might say, oh, today's so much better because we have great transportation and we can go anywhere we want to go, except now because of the pandemic you can't. But we can do all these things, and man, we have TV with 433 channels, and we have internet, and we can do all kinds of stuff. And has that made us better? Or has that made us more distracted than we've ever been before? It's interesting, when I was a little boy, I was very active, maybe hyper. Yeah, I'd say that. And if they knew anything about it, they probably would have termed me ADD. But you know what? It wasn't anything that a little pressure on the backside with something would get my attention. And I didn't have to take a whole bunch of pills. Now, I realize that there are some people that are physically hurting and need attention. But in so many instances, in so many ways, we have blamed all of what we go through on God, and we've turned our own way. We've done our own thing. Could we really truthfully stand before this world today and say, America, in God we trust? I don't think as a nation we could. And I know as a world we could not. We don't trust God. We trust our bank account. We trust what we have. We trust what we've built with our own hands. Which, oh, by the way, is all going to go away. All of it. Every single bit of it. Why? Because God will ultimately want everyone to see and experience what it's supposed to really be like. To either trust in Him or trust in yourself. But they won't be able to trust in themselves. And over and over and over again in this passage, we see them crying out, "Woe, woe, oh, how wretched this is." And they will cry unto God, but He will not answer them at this point. So let's go through our outline this morning. In verses 2 through 8, it talks about some spirits. Look at, in fact, at the last part of verse 2. "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable thing." Listen, folks, this system that this world will be going through and be governed by is not going to be a system that you'd want to be in as a Christian. Because it's going to be completely led by demonic spirits and evil spirits. It is completely vile and corrupt as a system. You will not ever find true justice in that system. Because that's not what Satan wants. Satan does not want justice. He does not want what is good. He does not want what is right. He does not want what is clean. He does not want what is holy. He wants everything opposite of those things. Everything. And so this whole world system, including the economy, will be built and controlled by demonic spirits and evil spirits. But they will be so seducing in their ways. Look at what verse 3 says. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her. The merchants of this earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. Now let me tell you something, folks. We are all susceptible to monetary gain. What I mean by that is somebody walked up to you and says, hey, I'd like to give you $1 million. Do you think you receive it or turn it away? Now, if you're lying in church, you're lying everywhere, right? Okay. If somebody walked up to give you $1 million, you'd more than likely take it. Because immediately you'd start thinking what you could do with that $1 million. Man, I could purchase a new home. I could buy... And we'd start thinking about all the things we could do. But they're all based on what we want. Not on what God wants. I wonder if somebody walked up and said, I want to give you $1 million, you'd say, great, our church needs that. The body of Christ needs that. I'll just give it all straight to God. It'd be tough to do that, wouldn't it? Because we are selfish people. All of us. We think, well, you know, I'll give some of it to God. I'll give my tenths to God, but, you know, I can't wait to find out what I can do for myself with this. Well, it's going to be so much worse than that now. I mean, this passage literally says the kings have, they have been over opulent. Everything they could do with money, they've done it. The merchants have grown rich from their excessive luxuries. I mean, they have wasted all their money upon the things of this earth. The seducing part of this is that everyone will be putting their full trust in the world economy. And it's great, so to speak, if the economy's booming. Right? It just keeps multiplying. It's good. You make money in the stock market. You make money on your dividends. You make money on all this other stuff. And you think, man, this is great. This is awesome. But look at what 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Think about it, folks. It's so easy. It's so powerful to think that if you have a little extra money, if you have a little extra income, you have a little extra power, then you can do all kinds of stuff that you want to do. You think that's powerful now. You wait till this time when the evil spirits are going to be saying, over and over again, man, if you just have this, you're going to be happy. You're going to be fulfilled. Oh, man, you just need this and this and this. Our nation literally has gone crazy with things. You know, if I just have, you know, if I have an extra garage to put my extra car in, or if I just had this or that, if I just had these things, then I'd be happy. If I just did this, I'd be so happy. And we're all, it's all about us. It's not about Him. God is going to let that go for a while. But there will ultimately be a day of judgment. It's like a fisherman who lets that lure out just a little farther, a little farther, a little farther. But once he hooks something, he reels it in. The desire for money will overtake any desire for God. And especially in these days, people will be so, they'll be so drunk with just getting rich. that they'll lose all interest or even thinking about God. What does God say about that? You shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. I was reading something the other day on the internet, and I can't even recall the place that I was reading, but it was a Christian author who was talking about some of these very things. And the title of his page was No Other Gods. Quite literally, the very first commandment, you shall have no other gods before you, is a statement by God about Himself that will be judged. It will be. Do I have other gods before Him, including ourselves? It's a seductive thought to think you have more than you could ever use and be able to do all these other things that you want to do and all this stuff. And it's so seductive. But it's going to come to an end. Verses 4 through 8 then talk about what's going to happen because of these things that are going on in the world. This voice from heaven is going to come and say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she's done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury that she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, I sit as queen. I'm not a widow. I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her. Death, mourning, and famine, and she will be consumed by fire. For mighty is the Lord God who judges her. Mighty is the Lord God who judges her. Folks, we serve a mighty God. And He is not going to put up with this forever. How patient has He been with us? He's been so patient with us. He's been so patient with our country that continues to snub their nose towards Him and raise their fist towards Him and say, we don't need you. He's been patient because He's looking for His people to stand up and to proclaim that He is God and we will serve Him and we will serve Him only. And yet we just continue to just go down the same road as this world is taking us. And so God will bring sentence upon them. He will sentence their deeds. Too numerous to number, the Scripture says. The sins of this world and this system are brought before God for judgment. And for those who are saved, we can rest in the promise of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. By the way, if you're saved today, you won't be in this world during this time anyway. The rapture will have already happened. You'll be with God Himself. But for all those who come to know God after the rapture, and are still alive and have not been put to death yet, because they follow God and have not taken the mark of the beast, look at what it says. Isaiah tells us this. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I remember your sins against you no more. You see, God knows those who are His. Those who have chosen to follow Him. Those who have called upon Him and trusted Him as their Lord and Savior. But for everyone else, there will be doom. This world, its corrupt system, its leadership will receive what is due to them, and that is complete destruction. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about complete in the same sentence as God, it kind of puts a little more emphasis on it to me. When God says He's going to destroy something, it's not going to be one of these things, well, oh, yeah, I don't like that. Just kind of get that out of my sight. No, it's going to be the hammer fist of God coming down in judgment and complete judgment. The deception is this. The world system has even deceived itself into believing the lie of the evil one. And by the way, the lie of the evil one is the very same lie that he's been speaking since the Garden of Eden. The very, very, very same lie. Oh, God knows that if you eat of that apple or that fruit, it's not necessarily an apple, if you eat of that fruit, you'll be just like him. You will know things that you don't know now. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be just like God? Oops, that's Satan's sin. He wanted to be just like God. And because of that, he was kicked out of heaven. Name changed from Lucifer to Satan. And he will never be in heaven again. The destruction. The Scripture says in one day, in one swift and sure destruction, in one day that all that man has built for his own glory, it will come all crashing down. Everything. Everything. All the stock markets of the world, all the banks of the world, all the currencies of the world, everything that we thought was really, really, really important will come to an end. The destroyer will be the Lord God Himself. He will destroy this economic world. And nothing or no one can stop Him. I think a lot of times I have to picture things to know. It just kind of puts things into perspective. But just kind of picture this. You're standing out in the middle of a railroad track. And there's a huge locomotive headed your way. And you can think, I'm pretty strong. If I dig my feet in and I lean towards that locomotive and I put my arms out, and I saw Superman do this one time. And I put my arms out, and when that train gets here, I'm going to be able to stop that train. Can you do that? Is it even possible? When God moves, not just a train, when God moves with His judgment, nothing will be able to stop it. Verses 9 through 20 talk about the economy considered. First of all, we look at the leaders of the economy. Verses 9 and 10 talk about them. Every king, every president will grieve and mourn. Why? Because first of all, they won't be king or president anymore. Over who? Over what? They won't have nations anymore. They won't have people anymore. They won't have abilities anymore. And they will experience and see with their own eyes the swiftness of the fall. It's reported that on Black Friday, the day before, or the day of the stock market crash, the largest number of suicides in American history were registered right after that. People lost everything. They had no money. They had no ability to go to the bank. The banks were closing. Many of the banks were paying 5 cents on the dollar for what you used to have in there. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have much. 5 cents for my dollars, I wouldn't have much. And people, they were destitute. They didn't have a job. They didn't have any way of making money. And they began to take their own lives. The leaders of this world will fall into that idea as well. The merchants of this world, the ones who've made money off of other people. I know that, honestly, I know these people that have created vast empires of the ability to be able to sell and buy and fulfill orders and all that kind of stuff. They're very intelligent. They do all the things that they're supposed to do, and they've built themselves huge empires. But you know what? All of that's going to crash. All of it will come down. Things had been in this world. All of a sudden, the goods that they had were worth millions and even billions are now worth nothing. Things had become more important than people, and even things will then be taken away. That's the way God will judge. Because what you call your God, even though you wouldn't say it like that, what you show is your God in your life will be taken away. If you're still alive during this time, if you've not received Jesus, and you're still alive during this time, which I believe is coming very soon, it will show who your God is. The merchants are all weeping and crying. In 1 hour, these things will change. The shippers will all be crying about it. UPS, FedEx, the Postal Service, every other delivery company. They're going to go bankrupt immediately in 1 hour. Amazon will once again be a river in South America. And the wealthiest man in the world will no longer be wealthy. It will all come crashing down. All hope of profit and prosperity are taken away in an instant. But let me tell you something, folks. One of the things about heaven is understanding that when we get to heaven, we're going to see everything from God's perspective. Right now, we can't quite see everything from His perspective because we're blinded by our own perspectives. We see things the way we want to see them, and we see things the way that we perceive them to be. But when we stand in the presence of God, we will see that this judgment that comes down on this world is not something bad, it's the best thing that could ever happen. And they will break out, the Scripture says in verse 20, in worship in heaven. All of those in heaven will rejoice in the judgment of God because it's righteous. It's the right thing. And in fact, it will be almost like this. Finally, God, you're going to bring justice to a world that's gone crazy and hates you and has moved away from you and doesn't care about you anymore and lifts their fist in your face and says, we don't believe there's a God. We are gods. And God, justice will come down upon this world. What brings sadness to the hearts of earthly men brings shouts of joy to the hearts of those who are in heaven. Because God will finally get the honor that is due to Him. Ultimately, verses 21 through 24 tell us the economy then is totally condemned. Verse 21, let's read that together real quick. Verse 21 says this. The mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, with such violence, the great system of Babylon or the city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. In fact, there'll be no record of her anymore. What was once touted as the greatest thing ever will never be remembered again. Think about that. The stone cast down is used to illustrate that one that is cast into the sea will not rise again but remain. When a stone is cast into the ocean, does it float? No. Does it get tossed on the waves? No. It goes straight to the bottom. This was also foretold in Jeremiah 51, verse 64, as the prophet Jeremiah said, "Then say, so will Babylon sink to rise no more. Because of the disaster I will bring on her, and her people will fall." The condemnation of this world's order, the one world religion, the one world economy, will finally be completed. There'll be no more music or rejoicing in this world. There'll be no more manufacturing. There'll be no more partying. There will be no more marriages. There'll be nothing that we have during these days, because all of it will come crashing down. God finishes it up with this portion of Scripture in verses 23 and 24. It says, "The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride will never be heard in you again." By the way, when God says never, that's exactly what He wants to say. It will never shine again. Never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who have been put to death here on this earth in the name of Jesus. You see, the system will fail because it stood for everything that God opposed and His way. It was domineering. It was deceptive. It was deadly. Folks, this is a warning to everyone who will listen. Now, I'm just standing in a pulpit in Craig, Colorado. I'm not preaching on a national or a world scene, but I'm telling you this, folks. God's Word is going forth. When people hear this, they're going to have an option. Will I receive what God is saying, take it to heart, and do something about it? Or will I reject it and say, "Oh, it can't be that way. It's not possible." God is showing us more and more and more every day that we live what is possible. You think the economy of this world can't crash? Of course it can. People are already losing their jobs. People who have banked on having a nest egg find out that the egg has turned into a piece of yolk. Folks, we can't bank on anything except God Himself. And if this world does, which it will continue to do so, they will find out that all of those things that they thought were so important will not only not be important, they won't even be here any longer. And that's just like God. What you think is going to bring you pleasure will bring you pain. What you think is your God will turn out to be a demon of some kind. Look at what Matthew chapter 6 says as Jesus was speaking to the crowd on the side of the mountain. It's a warning to everybody who's going to listen. He says this, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on this earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If you place the eggs of your life in the basket of this world, they will all be broken one day? Where are you placing your trust? Who are you trusting? He says just a little later in Matthew 6:33, the answer. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you as well. Some people have taken that and say, oh, well, if I'll just trust God, then He'll make me rich. I'm not talking about earthly wealth at all. At all. He might bless you with something. That's great. What are you going to do with it? It's not yours anyway. Right? What are you going to do with it that could be a blessing to someone else? What are you going to do with what He blesses you with? You see, because when you give your life to God, He becomes Lord and Master. And that means any blessing that you receive here on this earth, whether it's materially, whether it's monetarily, whatever it might be, it's His anyway. What are you going to do with it? Give it back to Him. Lord, what is it you want to do with this? Show me. And I'll do it. Not, Lord, what is it you want to do with this? You mean you're taking it away from me? Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you as well. Father, I come to you this morning. And I thank you so much, Lord, that you are not a God who hides things from us. But over and over and over again, you have shown us and spoken your word through your prophets, through the word of God, through your own Son who came and proclaimed the good news. You have spoken over and over and over again. What will we do with what you've said? Will we receive it? And not only receive it, but then share it with the people that are all around us. It's very sad to hear people talk about the American dream, because their dream is not a dream of serving God, ever. That's not... When people talk about the American dream, their dream is about how they're going to make it after they retire, what they can do, how they can make money, how they can... It's nothing. I don't want the American dream. I want your dream for me, Lord. I want what you want for me. And Lord, I know that fights against everything inside of me who wants to have certain things and think that I need to have this or that. I don't need any of that. I just need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Lord, help that to be our heart's cry. We just need you. And not only do we need you, our family members need you. Our co-workers need you. Our neighbors need you. Every person that you bring us in contact with is a possibility of someone who truly needs you, who might not know you yet. Lord, I pray that when we read such a heavy passage of Scripture and see the destruction that's coming to this world, we will not walk away and soon forget what we've heard, like the man who looks in the mirror and sees something and then walks away and forgets what he's seen. But instead, we will be wise. And we will use the time that you've given us and the opportunities that you've given us to share the good news with everyone we can. Lord, there may be someone listening today, either here in this building, or online, or on video or CD later on. And they may hear the word of God directed towards their heart, and simply saying this, "You shall have no other gods before me." And they might not know what to say to that. Lord, I pray that even right now, at this very moment, they would realize they need You more than anything else this world has to offer. They need You, just like I needed You, and I still need You every single day. And I pray that at this very point, whether here or somewhere else, they would simply trust in You. They would take themselves off of the throne of their life and replace You there. Place You on the throne. Say, "Lord, I want to follow You. I want You to be my Lord. I give You my life. I trust in what You've done for me, that You paid the penalty of my sins on the cross through Jesus' blood. I trust the fact that You paid my sin debt. And now I know I can have eternal life with You. And Lord, this life is not about how much I can get, but how much I can give. How much I can give away to people who just need to hear that Jesus loves them." Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.